For now, at least, it's business as usual in terms of U.S. procurements of the Russian-made RD-180 engine, according to General William Shelton, despite recent political tensions between the two countries. But that doesn't mean U.S. officials aren't nervous. In theory, the Russian government could cut off the supply of that vital component of the U.S. space launch program at any moment. Or Congress could order the military to stop using the engines for national security missions.
The events of the last week or so certainly aren't confidence builders. We need to understand what that relationship between our two governments will look like for the longer term. Should Congress tell us to cease on RD-180s, it will be time and money. That's the reason we're so concerned about this. Any interruption, anything you do different than what we've got planned right now, start writing checks.
The Air Force estimates that losing access to the RD-180 would cost the government anywhere between $1.8 billion and $5 billion, partially because the launches of very expensive satellites would be delayed, and partially because some of the missions that move forward would hitch a ride to space on more expensive alternatives. Right now, the Air Force, NASA, and the National Reconnaissance Office rely on the RD-180 to power the Atlas V rocket. Shelton says that's because it's the best engine in the world at the moment, and there's no American-built competitor that's as reliable or as cheap. The government's strategy up until now has been to hedge against a supply disruption by ordering enough of the engines to build up a stockpile. There are 15 in storage right now, and 5 more are due for delivery between now and October. Federal agencies currently use the engines for about 7 launches per year.
If we launched the 15 that we've got right now and just executed the manifest as it's laid out today, that would give us 2 years of capability. If we decided that we wanted to meter those out a little bit differently and just use those for the highest priority, greatest need launches, we think we could stretch that out some. But that would take literally a national decision, probably an executive branch decision, on where the priorities lie. So, for example, NASA's got interplanetary missions that are high priority for them. The National Reconnaissance Office has missions that are high priority for them. DOD has high priority launches. So the claims for those 15 precious engines will come from those three sectors.
Even if Congress decided to move forward right now with a program to engineer a U.S.-built replacement for the Russian engine, it would most likely not be completed before the current supply of RD-180s ran out. Shelton says some industry estimates show a new engine could be built within 4 years, although the government's estimates are between 5 and 8 years. In any case, he says he believes it's important to get started as soon as possible, not just because of the current tensions with Russia, but because the U.S. risks losing vital capabilities in its industrial base without any major rocket engine development programs underway.
I think we've still got a lot of people in the country that have liquid rocket engine experience. Marshall Space Flight Center, certainly a couple of companies that I can think of right off the top of my head. Air Force Research Laboratory has been working these issues for quite some time, but the scope is much different than what it's been in the past. You know, we really haven't built a new rocket engine in this country since the early 2000s. In fact, it's the rocket engine on the bottom of the Delta IV, and since then, we really haven't built anything. So that doesn't bring in the new blood, the talent, people coming right out of college, and so on and so forth. So that's what I'm talking about is, okay, we've got a lot of experienced people out that can start to guide this, but we need a lot bigger scope of people to really run a major rocket program, and I think that'd be a real boon to the industrial base.
On Wednesday, the Air Force will conduct its latest space launch when it sends a Delta IV rocket into orbit, carrying with it the first satellites in a new program that, until earlier this year, was still a secret. The Geosynchronous Space Situational Awareness Program, or GSAP, will position several satellites just above the geosynchronous orbit that's occupied by other satellites from countries around the world in order to monitor what other nations are up to in space.
This neighborhood watch twosome will help protect our precious assets in geo, plus they will be on the lookout for nefarious capability other nations might try to place in that critical orbital regime. We will learn a great deal about the geo traffic with the images produced by these two satellites. GSAP also will demonstrate enhanced maneuverability activities, which include rendezvous and proximity operations during the developmental and operational test events shortly after launch. And to answer the question you might be asking in your mind, we do have an inherent right to safely maneuver around and monitor potentially threatening satellites. Needless to say, GSEP represents a big leap forward in our situational awareness at geosynchronous orbit.
Shelton says it's not as though the U.S. didn't already have systems to track satellites and other objects in Earth orbit before the GSAT program, but those systems are primitive by comparison.
Today, the way we track what's in geosynchronous orbit is by basically points of light. And as we take a picture of the sky and dwell on that part of the sky, things that are moving are satellites, things that are stationary are stars. This gives us an ability to, rather than just look at points of light, to look at literal images of objects in geosynchronous orbit. Through our points of light and various other means, we make inferences on what a particular satellite can do. Well, a picture is worth a thousand inferences, because we can see literally what that satellite looks like, and you can effectively reverse engineer and understand what the capabilities are, probably not to 100%, but to a much greater extent than you can today.
In Washington, Jared Serbu, FederalNewsRadio.com and 1500 AM.